What is up, people? This is Mahara Tucker. I'm coming to you from Atlanta, and you have made your way to the Think and Grow Rich call. We're excited to have you. Our wonderful host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. In the meantime, tell me your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Larry, good morning to you and Wendy. We're glad you're here.
Hi, good morning.
Who else is on the line with me this morning? Come again?
Good morning, Sophie from Boca Raton, Florida.
Good morning. We're glad you're here.
Aloha from Arkansas.
Good morning, Arkansas. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
My pleasure.
It is a magnificent Monday, and I'm so excited about learning more about building my future. Who else is here with me?
Good morning, Larice Morgan.
Good morning, Oregon. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Thank you, Mahara.
Virginia from Kansas.
Good morning, Virginia. Welcome to the call.
Winifred James, New York.
Good morning, New York. We're glad you're here.
Thanks.
Who else is on the line with me this morning?
Good morning, Mahara. It's Elise in Atlanta.
Good morning, Elise. I know you're ready to get your wealth on. It's time to get excited about your life. It's time to make some powerful decisions. Who's in with me?
Good morning,
Diane
from Atlanta.
South Lake, Texas.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
In my analytics and stuff, but on my personal Facebook page, you know, I just want posts that are engaging. And
you guys, make sure to star six. Whoever's talking about their Facebook page, we know you're there.
I get a little deeper into this whole Hootsuite thing, but I just like to keep it simple, right? I try to do things as simply as possible.
Hey, guys, tell me your name and who's on the line with me.
Good morning, it's Oliver from Miami.
Good morning, Miami. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Good morning. It's Erica from Chicago, Mahara.
Good morning, Erica. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Bill Moyes from South Lake, Texas.
Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. Good morning to you, love.
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning, Patty Salt Lake.
How is this?
Good morning, Patty. Welcome to the call.
My favorite friend.
Rochelle from California.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. I heard California. Who else is coming out?
Don in Maryland. Good morning.
Good morning, Maryland. You guys, make sure to press star six after you say your name. We can hear you talking. Come out and tell me who's with me on the Think and Grow Rich call.
Carl David.
I hope that you got all that down.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. This is Anthony Williams from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Anthony, what's up? I'm in beautiful Atlanta, and you're not so far away. Good to hear from you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Gus
from Atlanta.
Joe from Long Island.
Good morning, Atlanta.
Carlo from Scottsdale.
Good morning, Carlo.
Good morning, my friends. Rick from California.
Good morning, Mr. Rick. We're so glad you're here.
You guys
figure
all that out.
Good morning, Denise from San
Diego.
Dishaw from Dallas, Texas.
So, anyway,
good morning, San Diego. Good morning, Dallas.
And we will move on to the next module.
Colorado.
Good morning, Colorado.
Good morning,
Colorado.
Good morning, and welcome to the call. We're so glad you're with us.
Morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
What's up, Lisa Scott? Welcome to Think and Grow Rich call. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Eunice from New York.
Well,
Live is in Monday, July 28, 2014. Another great day to be alive, my friend. Super excited that you've made the decision to pick up the phone and dial into the Think and Grow Rich call this morning. Excited as I was listening to the intros, I'm actually in the back office of our conferencing service, and I was just looking down at all of the various people dialing in from various locations throughout the world. We've got Oregon, New York City, Nevada, Hawaii, Oklahoma, Texas, Illinois, Idaho, right? A 346 number. That's from a little town called Firth, Idaho that has a population of like, I don't know, 100 people. That's a few miles away from where I live. Pretty cool. New York City. What else we got here? North Carolina, Maryland, Florida, more New York, California, Arizona, Missouri, Vermont, New Jersey, just the California, people from all over the United States of America. Didn't see anyone from outside the country, but you know, a lot of times we have people from outside of the USA. Canada looks like dialing in today. Bottom line is we've got a group of excited, passionate, fired up entrepreneurs who are dialed in from various locations throughout the world, all with one common purpose, and that is we come together because every single person on this line, we believe that better things are possible for us in our futures. We believe that we can take our destinies in our own hands. We believe that we can learn and apply, we can learn new things, we can apply them in our lives, and we can get better. We believe that there are laws. We believe there are principles that we can learn and apply. And as we learn these laws and principles, we can step forward into our better futures, and we can achieve that which we set out to do in life and in business. And you know, we also believe in freedom. We believe that we on this call, we're a part of this thing that I like to call the Freedom Crusade. And why do I call it the Freedom Crusade? Well, partly it's because one of my mentors that I never met in person, I read a lot of books from this individual. I listened to audios. I saw some videos on the internet. He's a guy that's just really inspired me in life, even though I've never met him. A guy by the name of Art Williams ran a company called A.O. Williams that just did some seemingly miraculous things in business with people. Built one of the largest, if not the largest, life insurance company, a dwarfing company that had been in business for over 100 years, and he was a high school football coach, and he started with teachers and firemen and police officers, right, and people that just, you know, just from the various communities, and they launched a revolution that created a company that I believe at the time they created the most six-figure earners and millionaires than any other company up to that point in history. So it's a really cool story, and I love listening to Art Williams. And one of the things Art Williams always says, if you listen to him, he'll say, "Have a crusade." He says, "Have a crusade in life. Don't just go through life with your head hanging down, thinking you gotta, you know, just do whatever your boss tells you gotta do or whatever." Whatever life seems like has dished you up to this point. He says, no, he says, you can have a crusade. You can have something you're passionate about. You can have something that's worth fighting for. You can have something that can really rally your spirits and rally the people around you, and you can gather armies of people behind this cause that's bigger than yourself. He says, have a crusade. And so I've often thought in my business and in my life, you know, what is my crusade? And it's taken me a long time for whatever reason. I first started listening to Art Williams back in 2005, 9-10 years ago now. And I've decided that part of my crusade, I've got a couple of crusades going on. Number one, I'm a freedom crusader. I love freedom, and I know you are too. The fact that you're on this call means that you love freedom, and you're a freedom crusader. We're on this freedom crusade, winning even more freedom and self-reliance and financial security for ourselves and our family. And we're also on this freedom crusade to deliver the freedom message to the people who come within the sound of our voices, to the people who read our Facebook posts, to the people who get our emails, to the people maybe in our local communities that are looking to us as examples as we're meeting different people in our various walks of life. We are ambassadors, my friends, I believe. I like that word, ambassador. Have you ever thought about that word? What if you could call yourself an ambassador of freedom? Well, you can, right? You can call yourself an ambassador of freedom, and we can be ambassadors of freedom in this freedom crusade as we make a decision to plant our flag on this idea of freedom, that we can be free. We are becoming even more free, and we're delivering this message of freedom. That's part of my crusade. I love being a freedom crusader. I love teaching people how to be free, and I know you do too, right? So that's part of my crusade. Another part of my crusade is to get this message of Dr. Napoleon Hill, the laws of success, think and grow rich, the science of personal achievement, as he called it, out to as many people as I possibly can and as we possibly can together. And why do I feel like this is a worthy cause? Why do I feel that like this is a crusade? Well, I think it's because there's a lot of people out there, wandering through life, not knowing about some of these principles, not knowing that, number one. Yeah, I'll tell you guys a quick story. I was at a gathering this last week, and we were at a birthday party, and this is just kind of interesting. I was talking to my wife about this the other night, last night actually. We were listening to these people talk about these jobs that these guys that I knew from high school have. And they work in a concrete crew, so they pour concrete. Hard job. Right? I don't know if you've ever poured concrete. I actually did when I was younger, and it was some of the hardest work I've ever done in my life is pouring concrete. Anyway, this guy we were listening to was talking about all my old buddies from high school, how they're working for this concrete crew. And here's the interesting thing is in the conversation, he was talking about what a great boss that these guys have. And he says, this boss, he said at the end of every year, he will give them a season pass to go skiing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, isn't that the most amazing thing? I mean, that's just so awesome. I mean, just imagine it. He gives these guys a season pass to go skiing, and they're looking forward to it all year, and they get this season pass, and wow, it is just so cool. And the reason I bring this up is because on the one hand, I'm like, you know what, that is cool, right? The boss doesn't have to do that. That's a great thing that the boss does for his employees. But the thing that impressed me maybe even more so than that was the fact that these guys and my friend who was telling me the story, they're excited about working their entire year, right, pouring concrete, some of the hardest work you could do, and they're so excited to get a season pass to go skiing that costs maybe $200 or $300. That's like this huge, huge, huge bonus for them, and they're just really, really excited about it. And the reason that I mentioned this is because as I was talking to my wife yesterday, we were driving, and I was like, man, you know, people don't know what they can do in life, right? People don't realize that they can have anything they want to have, really. I mean, within a reason, right, as Dr. Napoleon Hill says, he says you can do anything you want to do. You can have anything you want to have within reason. He qualifies it with those two words, within reason. What's possible for people? I mean, could a person go out there and generate enough income to buy 10 or 15 or 100 or 20 or 1,000 season passes to go skiing for themselves? I think they could, right? If they only understood the power that they have right under the hood of their own car, right? If they could just lift that hood up, if they could just look inside themselves, if they could just look inside their own mind, and if they could discover some of these things that we study and we know about on this call, right? Because we're students of Think and Grow Rich. If they could learn that they could have a definite major purpose in life that could consist of something, whatever it is of their choosing. Now, to be clear, we're not judging people. We're not looking down on them. We're saying, hey, you know what? It's great. Whatever you want in life, go for it. What we want to do, though, is we want to do the best we can to hopefully influence people to know that if they want more, now they don't have to go for more. I remember Jim Rohn says, make sure that your decisions in life are the product of your own conclusion. Don't go doing stuff just because someone else says you got to do it, right? And again, you know, I think life is all about learning what it is that you want to do, what you can do, and then, you know, going for that. If you want to work a concrete job, if that gives you joy, if that gives you pleasure, if that provides for your family, if, you know, if that's something that you like and you appreciate, hey, who are we to judge that? I think that's fantastic, right? But at the same time, if there's something that you want that's more, if there's something that you can do that's more, if learning that a definite major purpose, if learning that self-confidence, if learning that believing in yourself, if learning a little bit more about the options that are on the table of life, right, if that can maybe inspire you to want something a little bit different, then great. I think, man, isn't it so cool that we can do the best we can to share this stuff with people, and we can let people know that, hey, you know what, you can be free. If you're working in a job that you don't like, if you're working in a job that is not helping you to achieve your potential, in your financial potential, your spiritual potential, your emotional potential, that there are other options on the table. And so that's part of the reason why I love being on this crusade of getting these laws of success out into the marketplace, because I look at them, I look at this stuff that we study. You know, sometimes people say this is, you know, motivational stuff. Like I was talking to a friend this last weekend. He's like, what do you even do? I don't even know what you do. He's like, I know you do some like motivational videos or something. And I started to chuckle, because I don't see what we study. Yeah, it does. I believe it can provide motivation. Yeah, it does provide inspiration. But I don't look at what we do and what we study as simply motivational stuff, right? I don't think that does what we study justice. Motivational stuff, right? Yeah, we come on here, we get pumped up, we get inspired. Yeah, that's part of it. But it's not just motivational stuff. I look at these laws and these principles that we study as part of the body of truth, right? I look at this stuff as, you know, things that make the difference in a person's life, that will, and if they make the difference in person A's life, they'll make the difference in person B's life and person C's life. And so on my quest for truth in life, I feel like this stuff we're studying is part of that quest for truth, right? It's not just motivational stuff. It's, hey, what is truth? Where are the principles? Where are the laws? And can we each discover these on a little bit deeper, a little bit more complete level? And as we do, maybe we can see what we can do individually and collectively with seed, soil, sunshine, and rain, like Jim Rohn said. What can we do with this? With these gifts of life that we've all been given. And that helps me to really plant my flag firmly in this crusade. So, guys and gals, I hope you're excited to continue your search for truth today. I hope you're excited to, you know, be here together as a group. I hope you're excited. We got hundreds of people on this collective quest, this collective search for the ideas, the principles, the truths, the laws that can make all the difference in the world as to how a person's life works out. And if that excites you, if you're excited to be on the Freedom Crusade, if you're excited to be on the crusade to deliver this information, number one, to yourself, right? Number one, to myself. As we study this, we learn it, we apply it. And then number two, to deliver it to the people around us in many different ways, in the form of our example, in the form of the little bits and pieces that we're able to share, maybe in the form of inviting people to this call, inviting people to read these books. You know, it's just amazing what we can do. And if that excites you, let's start out with some excitement. I'm going to meet the phones right now. Never cease to amaze me. You know, we started this call 4 years ago when I was living in a 1984 single wide trailer house. Really not in the best spot in life. And we started this call with me and one other guy, my good friend Chris Wellard here in Southeast Idaho. And whenever I unmute the lines, and I hear hundreds of people screaming into the phone, it just humbles me. And I just can't believe where. where we're at, and I wonder where we're going. Who knows? We'll find out. So let's jump straight away into our study today. We're in the chapter on enthusiasm and the law of success. You can grab this book on our website if you don't have it yet. ThinkAndGrowRichAudios.com. It's in our free download section. And we're on page 550 of 1170. Hopefully we'll finish this chapter out. Here we go. Enthusiasm knows no defeat. The sales manager who knows how to send out an army of enthusiastic salespeople may set his own price on his services. And what is more important even than this, he can increase the earning capacity of every person under his direction. Thus, his enthusiasm benefits not only himself, but perhaps hundreds of others. Enthusiasm is never a matter of chance. There are certain stimuli which produce enthusiasm, the most important of these being as follows. And by the way, if you're following the code word for the day, the code word for today is the fire of enthusiasm. Continuing on. Number one, occupation in the work which one loves best. Napoleon Hill says one of the greatest tragedies in life is that most people are not engaged in the work which they like best. So getting into something that you enjoy, that you can get passionate about, you can be fired up about, deciding to take part in a crusade, right? This can contribute greatly toward enthusiasm. Number two, environment where one comes in contact with others who are enthusiastic and optimistic. Three, financial success. Four, complete mastery and application in one's daily work of the 15 laws of success. Five, good health. Six, knowledge that one has served others in some helpful manner. Seven, good clothes, appropriate to the needs of one's occupation. All these seven sources of stimuli are self-explanatory with the exception of the last. The psychology of clothes is understood by very few people, and for this reason, it will be here explained in detail. Clothes constitute the most important part of the embellishment which every person must have in order to feel self-reliant, hopeful, and enthusiastic. The psychology of good clothes. When the good news came from the theater of war on November the 11th, 1918, my worldly possessions amounted to but little more than they did the day I came into the world. The war had destroyed my business and made it necessary for me to make a new start. My wardrobe consisted of three well-worn business suits and two uniforms, which I no longer needed. Knowing all too well that the world forms its first and most lasting impressions of a man by the clothes he wears, I lost no time in visiting my tailor. Happily, my tailor had known me for many years, therefore he did not judge me entirely by the clothes I wore. If he had, I would have been sunk. With less than a dollar in change in my pocket, I picked out the cloth for three of the most expensive suits I ever owned, and ordered that they be made up for me at once. The three suits came to $375. I shall never forget the remark made by the tailor as he took my measure, glancing first at the three bolts of expensive cloth which I had selected, and then at me he inquired, "Dollar a year man, eh?" No, said I, if I had been fortunate enough to get on the dollar a year payroll, I might now have enough money to pay for these suits. Tailor looked at me with surprise. I don't think he got the joke. One of the suits was a beautiful dark gray, one was a dark blue, the other was a light blue with a pinstripe. Fortunately, I was in good standing with my tailor, therefore he did not ask when I was going to pay for those expensive suits. I knew that I could and would pay for them in due time, but could I have convinced him of that? This was the thought which was running through my mind, with hope against hope that the question would not be brought up. I then visited my haberdasher and I'm not even sure what that word is. I haven't looked that one up, so maybe you can share that with me. From whom I purchased three less expensive suits and a complete supply of the best shirts, collars, ties, hosiery, and underwear that he carried. My bill at the haberdasher's amounted to a little over $300. With an air of prosperity, I nonchalantly signed the charge ticket and tossed it back to the salesman with instructions to deliver my purchase the following morning. The feeling of renewed self-reliance and success had begun to come over me, even before I had attired myself in the newly purchased outfit. I was out of the war and $675 in debt, all in less than 24 hours. The following day, the first of the three suits ordered from the haberdasher was delivered. I put it on at once, stuffed a new silk handkerchief in the outside pocket of my coat, shoved the $50 I had borrowed on my ring down into my pants pocket, and walked down Michigan Boulevard in Chicago, feeling as rich as a Rockefeller. And there's a quote here on 52. Let me read this. All anyone really requires as a capital on which to start a successful career is a sound mind, a healthy body, and a genuine desire to be of as much service as possible to as many people as possible. Continuing on here with the story, every article of clothing I wore from my underwear out was of the very best. That it was not paid for was nobody's business except mine and my tailors and my haberdashers. Every morning I dressed myself in an entirely new outfit and walked down the same street at precisely the same hour. That hour happened to be the time when a certain wealthy publisher usually walked down the same street on his way to lunch. I made it my business to speak to him each day, and occasionally I would stop for a minute's chat with him. After this daily meeting had been going on for about a week, I met this publisher one day, but decided I would see if he would let me get by without speaking. Watching him from under my eyelashes, I looked straight ahead and started to pass him when he stopped and motioned me over to the edge of the sidewalk, placed his hand on my shoulder, looked me over from head to foot, and said, "You look damned prosperous for a man who has just laid aside a uniform. Who makes your clothes?" "Well," said I, "Wilkie and Celery made this particular suit." He then wanted to know what sort of business I was engaged in. That airy atmosphere of prosperity, which I had been wearing, along with a new and different suit every day, had got the better of his curiosity. I had hoped that it would. Flipping the ashes from my Havana Perfecto, I said, "Oh, I am preparing the copy for a new magazine that I am going to publish." "A new magazine, eh?" he queried. "And what are you going to call it?" "It is to be named Hill's Golden Rule." "Don't forget," said my publisher friend, "that I am in the business of printing and distributing magazines. Perhaps I can serve you also." That was the moment for which I had been waiting. I had that very moment and almost the very spot of ground on which we stood in mind when I was purchasing those new suits. But is it necessary to remind you that conversation never would have taken place had this publisher observed me walking down that street from day to day with the whipped dog look on my face, an unpressed suit on my back, and a look of poverty in my eyes? An appearance of prosperity attracts attention always, with no exceptions whatsoever. Moreover, a look of prosperity attracts favorable attention, because the one dominating desire in every human heart is to be prosperous. My publisher friend invited me to his club for lunch. Before the coffee and cigars had been served, he had talked me out of the contract for printing and distributing my magazine. I had even consented to permit him to supply the capital without any interest charge. For the benefit of those who are not familiar with the publishing business, may I not offer the information that considerable capital is required for launching a new nationally distributed magazine? Capital in such large amounts is often hard to get, even with the best of security. The capital necessary for launching Hill's Golden Rule magazine, which you may have read, was well above $30,000. Keep in mind, this is in 1928. And every cent of it was raised on a front created mostly by good clothes. True, there may have been some ability back of those clothes, but many millions of men have ability who never have anything else and who are never heard of outside of the limited community in which they live. This is a rather sad truth. To some, it may seem an unpardonable extravagance for one who was broke to have gone in debt for $675 worth of clothes, but the psychology back of that investment more than justified it. the appearance of prosperity not only made a favorable impression on those to whom I had to look for favors, but of more importance still was the effect that proper attire had on me. I not only knew that correct clothes would impress others favorably, but I knew also that good clothes would give me an atmosphere of self-reliance, without which I could not hope to regain my lost fortunes. I got my first training in the psychology of good clothes from my friend Edwin C. Barnes, who is a close business associate of Thomas A. Edison. Barnes afforded considerable amusement for the Edison staff when some 20-odd years ago he rode into West Orange on a freight train, not being able to raise sufficient money for passenger fare, and announced at the Edison offices that he had come to enter into a partnership with Mr. Edison. Nearly everybody around the Edison plant laughed at Barnes except Edison himself. He saw something in the square jaw and determined face of young Barnes, which most of the others did not see, despite the fact that the young man looked more like a tramp than he did a future partner of the greatest inventor on Earth. Barnes got his start sweeping floors in the Edison offices. That was all he sought, just a chance to get a toehold in the Edison organization. From there on, he made history that is well worth emulation by other young men who wish to make a place for themselves. Barnes is now retired from active business, even though he is still a comparatively young man, and spends most of his time at his two beautiful homes in Bradentown, Florida, and Damariscotta, Maine. Sorry to butcher that. He is a multimillionaire, prosperous, and happy. I first became acquainted with Barnes during the early days of his association with Edison before he had arrived. In those days, he had the largest and most expensive collection of clothes I had ever seen or heard of one man owning. His wardrobe consisted of 31 suits, one for each day of the month. He never wore the same suit 2 days in succession. Moreover, all his suits were of the most expensive type. Incidentally, his clothes were made by the same tailors who had made those 3 suits for me. He wore socks, which cost $6 per pair. His shirts and other wearing apparel cost in similar proportion. His cravats were specially made at a cost of from $5 to $7 and a half each. One day, in a spirit of fun, I asked him to save some of his old suits, which he did not need for me. He informed me that he hadn't a single suit which he did not need. He then gave me a lesson on the psychology of clothes, which is well worth remembering. I do not wear 31 suits of clothes, said he, entirely for the impression they make on other people. I do it mostly for the impression they have on me. Barnes then told me of the day when he presented himself at the Edison plant for a position. He said he had to walk around the plant a dozen times before he worked up enough courage to announce himself because he knew that he looked more like a tramp than he did a desirable employee. Barnes is said to be the most able salesman ever connected with the great inventor of West Orange. His entire fortune was made through his ability as a salesman, but he has often said that he never could have accomplished the results which have made him both wealthy and famous had it not been for his understanding of the psychology of clothes. And there's a quote here on 58. Dr. Hill writes, "There is a suitable reward for every virtue and appropriate punishment for every sin a man commits. Both the reward and the punishment are effects over which no man has control as they come upon him voluntarily." And I think that's a good place for us to pause here in our study of the subject of enthusiasm. And it's interesting that Dr. Hill's teaching us about packaging, right? The packaging of ourselves. The impression that people get when they, you know, connect with us for the first time. And, you know, for many of us, a lot of us I know on this call, we're engaged in, you know, maybe generating leads online, connecting with people through different medium, you know, other than like face-to-face. And this is something for us to think about, right? Because we know that in the online world, if you're doing business mostly on the internet, the packaging is, what does your website look like, right? What is the first impression people get when they come to your site? That's the packaging there. If we're doing business offline, right, what's the packaging? Well, it's what they see. It's what the people see when we show up. And it's just, it's really interesting to think about, because there really is a temptation. You know, I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, but there is a temptation to just be who you are and, you know, not worry about what other people think, right? And that's one of the principles that we learn in Think and Grow Rich is don't worry about what other people think, right? Don't worry about, you know, people who might have criticisms for us. At the same time, I think it would be a little bit naive to not know that people will form perceptions on what they see when they see us for the first time. They will and they do, right? And so I think it's something that, you know, maybe we need to at least be aware of so that we can make conscious choices as to, you know, our own packaging, right? Our own packaging. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts, and it's a really, really interesting topic. So let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind it's not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of the call. And I'm going to throw something out to you guys. You know, one of the things that that I've been pondering personally is, you know, I've started over the last little bit to do a little bit more business here in my local area. And one of the things that's kind of interesting about me that you may or may not know is I drive used cars, right, that are paid for, right? I have not gone out there and, you know, purchased brand new cars. And part of the reason for that is because I learned in Rich Dad Poor Dad that we want to invest our money in assets. Assets make us money, and we want to stay away from liabilities. Liabilities cost us money. And at certain points of your career, when you're working on accumulating assets and wanting to make sure that your dollars go out there and return more dollars, for me it seemed like a wise thing to do to buy used cars. Well, I've got this one old car that I've driven clear back from when I first got in network marketing. It's a 2000 Honda Civic. It's a two-door. It's got paint peeling off the hood and the back, and it's just kind of a little dog. But it's a good little, you know, it's a good running car. So I've got that car, and then we've got a couple of nicer vehicles that, you know, I got a truck and a Suburban. And so one of the things that's come across my mind as I've been thinking about actually going outside of my home and actually seeing people, you know, in the physical world here in my local community, like I used to do when I first got started in network marketing, is I've thought about my packaging, right? I've thought about my car that I drive, right? And I've thought about how will people perceive, right? When I want to go to meet with someone, sure, I can show them the money I've made. I can show them, you know, the great financial success that we've been blessed with over the last couple of years in my home-based business. We can show them that. I've thought about how is it going to look if I show up in this car with the paint peeling off and, you know, it's kind of old, how's it going to look and what will be their perception, right, if I drive up in this old car? And there's even been the temptation on my part. I thought to myself, you know what, who cares? Maybe I should just drive this old beater car just to make a point, just to show people that you can make a lot of money and you don't have to go out there and buy brand new cars, right? So there's been that temptation. And I don't know that I've really settled on an answer yet, but it's part of what we're talking about here, right? It's part of our packaging. It's part of understanding that, you know, people will perceive us. People will make judgments, whether they're right or wrong, right? We're not saying their judgments are right. We're not saying their judgments are wrong. We're just saying that it seems to be a fact that our marketplace, the people that we run into, they will make value judgments based on our packaging. So I think it's an interesting point to think about and to discuss. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts and your insights as we learn together on this particular topic of enthusiasm. I think we can all agree on one point, however, though, that Dr. Napoleon Hill is talking about here, where he says that when you are dressed in a manner that you feel good about, doesn't it doesn't it really do something to how you feel inside, right? When you're able to look in the mirror and whatever clothes you're comfortable with, when you're able to look and say to yourself, you know what, I look good today. I feel good about the way that I look. I'm ready to face the world. I think we can all agree that that does have a tremendous impact on our own self-confidence, doesn't it? So just another point to maybe we can mastermind on. So again, keep in mind it's not a company-specific call. Please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated. And your comments, one moment, please. Star 6, thoughts. Love to hear from you today.
Hi, Simpson.
Hello?
Yeah, we got that. All right, we got Pass. And then, Pass, go ahead. You were first, sir.
Good morning, Paul. I was just calling, talking about packaging. One of the things I realized is in my conventional business, me and my brother have together. My brother is the one who we always send out into the field to meet people first because he's actually better looking as far as on the eye. He was a male model. He liked to wear expensive clothing. Even though he knows he knows almost nothing when he goes into a room, the packaging when he walks in his Gucci loafers and his clothing, people actually take him a little bit more seriously than someone like myself who dresses in regular clothing. I don't put on the name brands, but when it's actually time to close the deal, I'm the one who does all of the back-end footwork. So people, we realized as we were going through just meeting different clients that the look and the professionalism, you know, that people assume comes with his clothing allows them to take him a little bit more seriously. So I say a lot of times, make sure not only how you dress, but if you're not the best dresser, if you're not the most, the person who invests the most in your look, make sure you partner with someone who's just that person. Someone who's into their look, someone that is into their packaging. You might just be better off at doing all of the paperwork, doing all of the back-end work, doing all of the grunt work, but together you can still create success. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you because a lot of us, like myself, is not into fashion, but that doesn't mean we're not into success. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that I love you. It's Make It Happen Monday, and I'll sit back and learn some more.
Awesome stuff, Pat. Thanks for sharing those points. Good stuff. Did I hear it, James?
Jeremy.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Good morning.
No, James.
Oh, okay, James. Had it right the first time. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing? My name is James Tate from New Jersey. I've been listening for a while now.
Hey, James. We're losing you, man.
I was saying I've been listening to this call for a couple months now from my buddy Danny, and this call is just amazing. But what I was trying to make a point on is that with the enthusiasm and the positive is like when you start thinking positive and with enthusiasm and then you start talking like it and then your actions start doing it, you know, you attract and you bring a enthusiastic and positive energy which will attract positive people, which will, in the long run, you know, just turn everything that you want to happen, you know, into a positive and you'll achieve your goals. I don't know if I can.
Absolutely.
That was my point. But
awesome.
thank you for the call, and I really love this stuff.
Awesome point, James. Appreciate you coming out, man. I heard Elvira coming out. Elvira, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Paul. Can you hear me?
Let me clear the line. Star 6, just Elvira, please.
All right, Paul, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Thinking We're Rich family. Interesting. Yes, I have always been I've always been passionate about clothes. I love clothes. Style of clothes does not necessarily mean it has to be expensive clothes at all. It's just how do you combine it together? You can be very smart in doing that. And
honestly, I have to say that my trust in somebody who drives a newer car is because it goes much deeper, you know, it goes much deeper. The people's perception just goes deeper than just the first impression. Harv Eker says it so poignantly. He says, how you do one thing is how you do everything. That doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money on a lot of things that you own, but, you know, just make it look good. And it can be so simple. It also, when you dress well, and as I said before, it doesn't have to be expensive, but just nicely styled, like shine your shoes and those kind of things. How are you able to handle the money when you like to tell somebody that you're doing well in your business and you drive in an old car and you have worn out sneakers and all that sort of happy stuff like we have nowadays? Does it really show that you are able to handle the money, the lots of money that you are earning? Or, you know, it's again how you do one thing. It's like Hill is an example here. He didn't have any money, but he walked around with an air of being prosperous. Walking around with brand names all over you is not the way to go. I mean, Michael Jordan gets paid $2 million a year, but those tailors who make those good clothes or who make nice clothes don't have the labels on the outside of the suit. Nobody knows where it's made and how much you pay for it. Who has that knowledge nowadays? So just look nice. You know, it's, we say that in our words, it's the tone that makes the importance or brings the message across. By dressing yourself and showing up in a reasonably nice car and wash your car, you know, washing your car doesn't cost so much, 10 minutes. That does so much more for you. I like to dress for me. I feel good. When I do my hair, I feel good. When my hair is not good, being a woman, you know, when my hair is not looking good, when I have no makeup on, the picture is not complete. It's just these little things. Do I put nail varnish on my nails? No, I don't. But they're nicely trimmed and they're clean and my hands look good. It's everything together and it doesn't have to cost a fortune. Trust me. It's just the whole impression that you give that you are feeling great about yourself, you're feeling prosperous, and you air that. And that's what attracts the people you like to attract. So that was my little 2 cents. Thank you. Or actually, no, it was $2,000. Thank you.
Good point, Sylvia. Appreciate that.
Hey, Bill Frank from
St. Louis.
All right. Let's see. We had let's have the person from St. Louis. It sounds like a new voice. Who's that? Are you there? St. Louis? All right. Bill Winch, go ahead, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Sue from St. Louis.
Okay, go ahead. Quickly, please.
Okay.
Welcome.
Do you want Sue to talk?
Yeah, go ahead. From St. Louis, please.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Glad you're here.
All right. I just want to say Elvira was talking exactly about what I was going to say. Mine is a mindset where I got up this morning as I'm listening to your call. I put on my Superwoman t-shirt because I feel powerful and I'm going to do my blogging. And I put my makeup on. But what it is, it's not specific for anybody else. That's what's making me feel powerful and good and strong in myself. And some days I like to get dressed up, and that gives me my inner strength. I just feel that. But I've discovered that when I get up in the morning, because I can work from home, if I'm slouchy and I'm not really, I get up and I'm kind of laid back, and that's kind of how my business goes. I don't have the enthusiasm. So dress for success, but what your success is, maybe even just for that day, to feel it, and it's an individual thing. So just wanted to share that.
Such a great point, because in the home business profession, especially, you know, maybe some of us who are working our businesses mainly from our homes, maybe it's not the Armani suit that's going to impress the people that we're looking to attract. Maybe it is the Superwoman t-shirt that, you know, we're looking nice in, but you know what, we're wearing what we're feeling comfortable with. We're wearing what makes us feel great. We're wearing what shows that, hey, we're living the lifestyle we want to live, right? So a really good point. Appreciate you, Sharon. B Al Winch, Star 6, calling out, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks for being patient. Appreciate that.
No problem. Now, Wallace has said, and all the things they boil down to a phrase I like better than the old traditional phrase, it's man makes the clothes do not make the man. So it's really like anything else, it's what's inside and how you present yourself that really makes a big difference. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Paul, Frank from Delaware.
Frank, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to the entire Thinking Grow Rich family. Bill, I am with you all the way. It's the man that makes the clothes, and thank God that's true. Although, having said that, Paul, my suggestion, Cadillac SRX, beautiful family car, beautiful packaging. But anyway, that's beside the point. It's very important to remember that it's the man that makes the clothes, because a lot of our business is done on the telephone. So Napoleon Hill explained to us that it was the air that he had about him. So we have to remember that, because we want to have that air, exactly that kind of air, when we're calling people at the house, because they want to hear that they want to hear that expertise in our voices, in our talk, in everything that we say. They want to hear that air of knowledge, that air of what am I trying to say? they want to hear exactly how successful we are through our voices. And we can accomplish that every day. We accomplish that every day by repeating our chief aim and definite purpose. So that's what we're accomplishing by repeating those phrases over and over again, because they will hear the confidence in us and they will hear the success in our voices, even the success that we're about to have, not necessarily that we have as of yet. Back to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Great points, Frank. Appreciate the suggestion, too. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. I was thinking about this. A few mentors in my life, there's one who gets on stage and he has shorts and tank top and flip-flops. And I think, okay, how is that presentation? But the thing about that is this young man has already made his mark. So he doesn't have to impress anybody and he's comfortable. It's just really interesting, the impression that makes. While as another of my mentors, after he has a $7 million home, and he, after reading the book, The Millionaire Next Door, really gave him a different take on things. And the thing that I got out of The Millionaire Next Door is that, like, the junk man could be a millionaire, but he doesn't have to impress anybody. While as other people in higher professions, they do dress for their success and for their – it's just really interesting to me. So I still have a lot of questions in this area. I think it's really important. I mean, it's easier for men. You just have the haircut, look nice. But women, we have to do hair and nails and makeup. And the other thought that comes to mind is what you think of me is none of my business. But in some professions, it really is. But most important is what you feel of yourself. And there's a Carol Tuttle that has a whole system of dress for your success type, for your energy type, which is very interesting. And I know a lot of women personally who are stepping into that, and they're looking at just the things that they can wear that can make them feel better about themselves. And I think that's one of the most important things. So this is a topic that I've thought a lot about it and still have a lot to learn. So I welcome all of these, the input from everybody else. Thank you to this mastermind group.
Great points, Kathy. Appreciate you bringing those up.
Good morning, Paul. This is Neville.
Hey, Neville. Good morning, sir.
And how are you today, young man?
I am blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
I'm similarly blessed and highly favored, young man. And thank God for this morning. Well, a couple of things I'd like to suggest here. When you're at home, or you are in the computer making sales, it's indirect sales. You're not talking to people
or you're not meeting them directly, but you're impressing them with your voice and what you have to offer, and the presentation on the phone is very, very necessary to be effective. When you begin to do direct sales and you're meeting with your clients directly, a man makes the clothes, yes, but you need to dress well. You need to, when you walk into a room, when you're going to make a presentation, or if you're meeting somebody directly, that when they see you, it shows that you are successful in some way. You need to do that. Now, Dr. Hill spoke about what he was with on Bosch and everything else. And he went to the tailor first, and then he went to the ready-made clothes after that for the haberdashery. Now, the major thing I would suggest you do, especially when it comes to your car, because I'm sure you dress well and you look well, is that talk to your accountant or your tax man. Find out if you would benefit from leasing a car. Then, because everything is written off on the lease. I mean, there's no expense to you. It's a tax write-off. You use that as to impress people. And a young man mentioned a Cadillac. He mentioned it could be a BMW. It could be a Benz. Whatever it is, that car you'd love to drive, you lease that one for your business. You might have to take a 1-3 year lease or something. So when you drive up to meet these people, you not only be able to sell success, you'll also be able to show success, provided you're in a position financially to do so, because at the end of the year, whatever you spend on a car is taken back off as a tax write-off. So therefore, you benefit from a lower tax base, and you recoup that money in a shorter way. I used to be in direct sales for a long time, and you had to dress. In those days, you had to change your car every 2 or 3 years, no more, because you meet people, you talk to people, and you always dress well. I didn't go to the most expensive stores to buy the Gucci and stuff. What I did, since I was decently built, I went to the haberdashery, like a Macy's or whatever it is. I take what nice suits that they have, and I have them cut to fit my body properly, so that when I walk into a room, you're seeing the man, but you see a man who's comfortable in the clothes he has. And I do not go to buy any other special clothing, wear brand names, so as to support other people, unless they're going to pay me to advertise first. So, young man, be blessed. All you think and grow rich, called be blessed. And life can be beautiful. Thank you, Paul.
Great counsel, Neville. Thank you for that. Really
hey, Paul,
good stuff.
Tony.
Tony, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. It's funny that they mentioned about being dressed to impress and so forth. I think you got to be kind of careful on that, being that, yes, you want to impress, but you also want to relate to people, too. And from my experience in the past working in the steel industry, I had a boss one time. He said that as a salesman, we need to wear suits to these construction meetings. And I was a little confused with that, being that I would rather wear jeans and so forth, or, you know, to look more the part. But, no, he, you know, that's, you know, I work for him, so I had to listen to him. So, yeah, we went to these meetings dressed to impress in double-breasted suits, three-piece suits or whatnot. And after these meetings, people would come up to me and say, what, are you the attorney here? Or are you the architect? We were a little confused on who we were. And I think it's important that we dress the part, and maybe even if you dress maybe a little differently than others so you stand out. But I don't think maybe we should confuse the issue either, is kind of what I'm trying to get at. Because then after that, it's always that, okay, I have more of a supervisory position, I guess, so therefore I need to dress maybe a little differently than my workers so people can tell me apart from others. I think that's important, but I don't think you need to go overboard, especially in our business, being that I'm more comfortable in shorts and a T-shirt, even in the wintertime, you know what I mean? But I think we need to relate to people more. And, you know, and there's a time and a place, I think, also. And that's my 2 cents.
Hey, Paul, it's Blaze.
Great info, Tony. I appreciate that. What a great discussion. A lot of different ideas. I thought I heard
There you are.
John the Blaze Chapman, Star 6. Did I hear you coming out, man?
What's going down, party people?
Hey, good to hear your voice, man.
Good morning, brother. Good morning. You know, this is a very interesting topic, and one that I have had a progression in thinking. When I first came online, I was coming out from the mortgage industry. So I tailored my blog, I tailored my look around the black suit, white shirt, red tie. You see, it's been so long, I don't even remember now. But the bottom line is that it was very much a power tie, a power suit, because that's the type of industry that I was coming from. Now, as I've progressed, I've become much more laid back. The whole shirt and tie deal represents corporate matrix to me. It makes me very, very, very uncomfortable to even think about wearing one. So what I've learned is that you have to be 100% comfortable in where it is that you are on a personal basis. And how do you do that? Well, you do that by taking action. Remember, every day we create a result. Whether that result is you've learned how not to do something or you've learned how to do something. But as long as you're taking action on a daily basis, what that does is that produces a result. And then over a period of time, as long as you take daily, consistent, massive action, those results tend to trend towards what you actually want in your life. Now, also, keep in mind...
Hey, guys, make sure you stay muted while we've got people talking. We'd appreciate it. John, go ahead, man. You still got like a minute left.
All right, brother. Star 6. So, now, as you produce those results and as you take that action, your confidence grows. Your ability to communicate grows. Your ability to persuade, to leverage grows. So that when you are speaking to that person over the phone or when you're speaking to that person in person, they feel who you are before, especially in person. They feel who you are before you say a word. The most powerful men that I've ever met in my life, literally, the most powerful guys in this game, the network marketing game, the internet marketing game, they look like they could be your next door neighbor. They're sort of frumpy. They don't put too much stock in the glitz and the glamour. But when they speak with a gravitas, with a base of knowledge that proves who they are. Be that person. Be your own person. Back to you, Paul.
Good stuff, John. Thank you.
Hello, it's Bob. Bob Ullman. Bob Ullman
hey,
here,
Bob.
Pompano.
Hey, go ahead, Bob. Good morning. Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
Yeah.
You
go,
hear me?
Go ahead. Good morning. Uh-huh. Yep.
Good morning. Good morning, group. Yeah, I'll just weigh in quickly on this. One perfect example of wearing the right things at the right times is the military. When they go out and fight, they wear one uniform. When they are on parade, they wear another uniform for the public to see. And I think we all agree there's quite a contrast in the way they look. So the main thing is to wear what's appropriate for the situation. In one of the I was always taught to dress for success. I come from a little older generation. I went to an event, one of the first events in the main company that I work with. I got there in a suit and tie, and I looked around, and everybody in the room was wearing T-shirts. Well, I quickly got rid of the suit and tie. I wanted to fit more in. So, you know, that's what I wanted to add today. I think it's ultimately, if we are visiting with the public in a sales capacity, we certainly should look one way. When we're in our home, the branding takes place in different ways. It may be the website. It may be the visualizations we have in our mind. We have a different type of branding that's also equally as important. With that, back to you, Paul. Have a great day.
Great points, Bob, as always. Thank you. We have 2 minutes left. Who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Elise in Atlanta.
Hey, Elise, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I just want to, I want to tell you about my grandmother. My grandmother was a clothes horse. Even at 85 years old, she could still walk into a room and turn heads because of the way she looked. A lot of people think that dressing like you're going to go cut the grass is okay if you're going to try to inspire someone or perhaps sell somebody something. I was trying to keep the sales out of it. But whatever your approach is, you need to look and feel like you are about to conquer the world. Don't go to a place where you are trying to inspire or motivate people looking like you're there to do yard work. You've got a task at hand. You are there to conquer the world. I love you all. Have a great day.
Awesome stuff, my friends. A lot of food for thought. Really, really good thoughts, good thinking, good topic. Excited. I think I've gotten received some ideas on how I want to move forward. You know, Elaine came to me while we were masterminding here. Look good, feel good, and be comfortable maybe is something that we can think about. But the bottom line is, my friends, that what's inside, I believe, matters the most, right? As John pointed out, what's inside matters the most. At the same time, what people see on the outside is a piece of the puzzle, and we would be foolish and naive to just completely ignore it. So I'm glad we're learning about it. I'm glad we're thinking about this in our own lives, my friends. Let's move forward. Let's get out there. Let's take action. Let's step towards our dreams. Let's engage in the disciplines that will determine where we end up in the next 3 to 6, 9 months to 5 to 10 years. We do have that power within our own hands, and it all boils down to the decisions that we make and the actions that we take today. So let's get out there and make it a good one. I love you guys. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call, and bye for now. You guys are awesome.
Amazing.
I want coffee.
Beautiful people.
We got some burritos. Hey, John, I bring the tequila. What up, bitch?
Do something important today.
Make a difference. Make a difference. Make a difference.
Make a difference. I love it. Yes, make a difference.
Yes, sir, baby. Make a difference.
Make sure today counts.
I love me some meat, baby. I love me some meat.
I love me some you.
It's a hell of a theme song.